Remember how often you would see a flash of lightning illuminate a dark street, or turn on a light late at night, baffled as to just where you are, and then recognize a familiar room in your home? Or have you ever listened to a single sentence, or perhaps a single word, and realize that another person had revealed her whole personality? Or have you ever pondered over a problem in mathematics, or accounting, or engineering, or even a jigsaw puzzle, and all of a sudden you saw how it all fit together? Or have you read about how the great scientists work, how one of them watched mold grow in a culture and suddenly recognize penicillin, the first wonder drug? All of these are quick, sharp, sudden illuminations. It's transient, it's passing, as the blink of an eye. And yet they reveal ever so much more about what is really going on than any amount of careful, reasoned, detailed explanation. Whenever we get into logical learning, we work our way slowly, carefully, cautiously toward the truth. But whenever we have an insight, we grasp all at once in a blinding flash, comparable to lightning. Now, ordinarily, our lives just go on slogging along. Usually, we're not mired deep down in a swamp or trapped in underbrush all of the time. But most of the time we move along slowly, cautiously, carefully, leaning for support on the daily and the monthly and the yearly routine that we're accustomed to. We're assured because the road that we travel is at least moderately smooth. If there's not very much of a soul-challenging excitement about life, then at least we're happy because there's not that much tragic disappointment either. The bumps of life, such as they are, we are glad to say are not too severe too often. There are not very many great highs, but there are not very many deep lows either. And so life just goes on slipping like water through our fingers. And then we grow old that way before we even know it. We wake up someday and discover that youthful enthusiasm is gone. But then we say, so is youthful disillusionment. We put aside our capacity for wonder and surprise. But we've also, we breathe deeply, cut down the losses in disappointment and betrayal that we knew as young people. We discover it might not at all be the best way of living, but at least it's a good way to survive, at least until the lights go out completely. But then there are times when we are jarred out of our mediocrity, out of that routine of saying to ourselves, well, that's the way we did it last Memorial Day weekend. Sometimes something happens. We're caught by a few words in a book, a phrase of scripture, an opportunity is offered to us, There's a flash of a smile from someone. Or all of a sudden, a whole new fresh idea crosses our minds and we discover momentarily, briefly, as in a flash of lightning, a whole new array of exciting, but worrying, exhilarating possibilities. We see that things really do not any longer have to be the way they are. That they can be different, better, more fascinating, more frightening, perhaps, but also life could become ever so much more interesting. The question then is not who turned the lights off, but who turned the lights on? For in those brief flashes of illumination which occur in the life of every single one of us, they occur in the lives of every single one of us. We realize that most of the time, we people are groping in the dark, coming from where we know not and going to where we have not the slightest idea. But in this Pentecost time, it is clear as to who it is who throws the switch. When the lights go on, when the ideas are fresh and new, it is the playful Holy Spirit, the Spirit of pranks, the God of variety, and the God of diversity. It is not the God who creates, but rather it is the mysterious Spirit God who calls us. The Lord Spirit who flirts with us. The Spirit who leads us on, who tries to attract us. That mysterious Spirit within us who is not above seducing us. If we give her just even half a chance, that warm, appealing, friendly God Spirit that beckons us down the road, calling us from across the river, pleading with us to leave the safety of land and join the Spirit on the other side of the river. It is that mysterious Spirit that speaks to our spirit. The fine leading edge of the Spirit God talking to the fine leading edge of our own personality spirit, pleading with each of us to be true to that element within each of us that is unique, special, creative, spontaneous, outgoing in ourselves. That Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the dancing God who invites us to dance with her, who tries to seduce us into running down the road to a new world we have not yet discovered, urging us to run faster, so that with all of our energy and resources pushed to the limit, to the breaking point, we finally become not just someone like everyone else around us, but we discover that each of us is someone special, ourselves. And we wonder, does this seem impossible? How can the Holy Spirit be called a prankster, a seducer? How can the Spirit possibly be lying in wait for us to trick us? How can the Spirit possibly be the one who's trying to seduce us, to join her on the other side of the magic wall? After all, in religion class, weren't we taught that this is very ungodlike behavior? But then if we don't think of this mysterious Spirit of the risen Christ within us, in this fashion. The Spirit who calls forth within us that which is so special, so unique within us, then how do we explain what we heard in today's readings from the Acts of the Apostles? Are those apostles up in the upper room, frightened and scared with the doors locked, were tricked, led on, and seduced in one of history's most practical jokes? There they were, praying in the first morning of the day of the week, minding their own business, not troubling anyone. In fact, they made sure they would not trouble anyone, because if they did, they might be killed. And so what happened? In this mysterious moment, the Spirit entered the upper room and took up dwelling within the spirit of each one of those people. And at that moment, the church was born. At that moment, the church was born as the Spirit of the risen Christ took up residence, took up the place within the hearts of those people. And those people were never the same again, because at that moment they became their true selves. They would never turn back to the kind of people they had been before, because the God who calls had called them so vigorously, so insistently, that without even knowing it, they responded. It is a terrible thing, Holy Scripture tells us, indeed a terrible thing, to fall into the hands of the living God. But the Bible means, when it says terrible, it means wonderful. It is a wonderful thing, because once you have fallen into the hands of the living God, once the living God has seduced you into allowing yourself to becoming your real self, then there's no turning back, because you don't want to turn back. You have discovered it is too enjoyable being, too enjoyable being what you are as God made you. Now you have discovered who you are. And that is why we celebrate this Pentecost. As all of us are still tempted to avoid the Spirit of the dancing God, who desperately wishes this Pentecost to seduce us into a dance, it's appropriate for each of us to ask ourselves, who would we be and what would we do if we were who we really are? Who would we be and what would we do if we were who we really are? Would we finally understand the words that this entire world is charged with the grandeur of the living God? It will flame out like shining from shook foil, because there lives the dearest freshness deep down things, because the Holy Spirit over this bent world broods with warm breast and with bright, bright wings.